This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi and welcome to version episode 573 of Shudders
Inc. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and that there is a very frustrated Mr. Glyn Lavender from CreativePhotoWorkshops.com.au. And yes, this really is our third attempt. How are you, mate?
Over a week and a half.
Yes.
Oy, my, oy, 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 oy,
dear,
oy.
Dear.
Well, you could say, almost slightly, the first one was almost kind of a tiny bit my fault, but mostly yours. The second attempt was all your fault.
Yes.
Yeah, I have no blame, no blame at all.
I'll own that.
And this third one.
Yeah, it's going to be gold. It's going to be pure gold, mate.
It's evil. We're cursed. It's the curse. We should look up the numerology of this episode number and see if there's anything in history that says, what episode are we up to?
573.
I want to see what happened. Okay, I want to see what happened in March in the year 573. Is that not the year the Black Plague started or something? Yeah.
It could very well be.
Oh, God. I almost have to look it up now, Bruce.
You almost do, but you really don't.
But I am. My CDO requires me to look it up. Mind you, I've got a big Band-Aid on my thumb, and it makes it really hard to type.
Why have you got a Band-Aid on your thumb?
I've got this fissure.
Right.
That's deep, deep, deep fissure that goes right down into the flesh that you can open up like a yawning chasm, and it goes
caused by what?
I don't know. It happens to be on a semi-regular basis on different fingers.
Okay. Did you cut it with a knife?
No. It just naturally appears. And that just my skin just splits open, but it's so deep that the pain is exquisite because it's and you get a bit of water or a bit of like I was doing yesterday.
Dude,
lemon
that kind
juice
of thing into. Happens on roads in Japan. It doesn't happen to fingers.
No, it happens to mine. Yeah, I have a feeling it could be phone because it's right where I slide my thumb. So I reckon my thumb dehydrates the skin in that part because of the phone so much. That it basically just cracks open from
wow.
But they're really really painful, really sharp pain.
Yeah, right. Wow.
Yeah, so it's it makes it a bit hard to, but it does happen from time to time. Oh, is it the Persian forces under the command of King Khosrau the First capture the Byzantine stronghold of Dara after a 6-month siege?
Wow.
Meanwhile, a smaller Persian army under Ad-Damahan advances from Babylon through the desert, crosses the Euphrates River, and ravages Syria. Wow.
That's absolutely fascinating, mate. What's been happening in the last 6 weeks of your life?
Hmm? Well, not that.
But it's been 6 weeks since we recorded. So.
I haven't pillaged. I haven't purged.
What have you done?
I haven't villaged.
Have you done any photography?
No. Oh, no, it's not. That's not. Maybe not quite sure. I might have taken some iPhone photos.
Yeah. Of?
Nothing important. My kid's head, because he had to get a quote for my for the haircut he wants doing. So I had to take a front and back shot, send it to the hairdressers for a quote.
Oh, that
$220 for.
I was just about to say, that sounds like it's going to hurt.
Yeah, $220 for hair. And that's the cheapest thing on their list.
Got his own employment yet?
Well, you can't work in the real world.
Well, then I'd be saying, you know, hey,
but he does have his own Etsy business, Etsy store.
Well, then he can pay for
which
it
brings
himself.
In $1,000-$1,500 a month, sort of thing.
So he can pay for it himself.
Well, he can pay for some. We'll go Harvey's.
Why? You
know, because I'm a nice guy.
I'm sorry.
It's my wife's money.
You're my wife's.
It's my wife's money. Let's just put it out.
You're a what now?
She earns. She earns all the money. No, I lied. I didn't actually take it. I didn't. We went to a concert. My kiddo and I went to a concert on Friday night.
Yeah.
And I took a photo of him in front of the stage, with the stage in front of him, so he could put it for his Instagram and his TikTok stuff.
Right.
That's about all.
What was the concert?
Boy and Bear is the name of the band.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's sort of Boy and Bear and Sarah Blasco.
Oh, yep.
Augie March.
Yep.
And this new young band, these young kids, which I kind of actually like the most out of all of them, they were called, if I can remember, look at my own library here, see what I, D something or other, Deporsal.
Yeah. Okay.
D-E space P-O-R-S-A-L. Very different sounding music for an Australian band and just young kids. And so they did really good. So it was a 6-hour little sojourn into, it was in the botanical gardens in Melbourne too. So it was a lovely environment. We got the bats flying all over us at night. So obviously they're watching the bats. We're right next to a big astronomical dome, big observatory, and the moon's rising, and it was the night of the solar eclipse, not that we saw it.
Lovely.
And, so it was a lovely evening, perfect temperature, nice. It was all good. And the irony, it was the night of the total eclipse.
Yeah.
So the sky was perfectly clear because it was at a time when we couldn't see it.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it happened sort of before the moon rose, so we didn't get to see the eclipse.
Right.
But of course, the sky was perfectly clear. And of course, I was talking to my kid and saying, of course, if it had been visible to us, it would be all cloudy by now.
Of course.
So I put a photo up on Facebook saying, wouldn't you believe it? There's a lunar eclipse tonight, and the bloody Earth's gone and blocked the light hitting the moon. So I can't see it. And so many people didn't get it.
No.
I'm not sure it's visible from Melbourne this time. I think our best chance is August on all this sort of stuff. I'm going, no, guys, it's me. You should know not to read that as a normal. The whole point of an eclipse is the Earth is blocking moon. So that was a bit of a laugh. And I bought a new barbecue.
Oh, nice.
That's the one.
What sort of barbecue?
Major. It's a Kamado style barbecue, which is an egg shape, basically.
Oh, okay.
It runs on charcoal.
Like a Weber, but different?
Yeah, so it's either ceramic or porcelain they're usually made out of, whereas a Weber's,
stainless steel.
Metal, stainless steel. So they have far better heat retention properties.
Yeah, right.
But the one I got was kind of cool. So these things are notoriously
hard.
They're
not meant to be cool. They're meant to be hot.
Oh, that's what's going wrong. those barbecues are notoriously hard to maintain a temperature.
Oh, okay.
Because the vagaries of how wood burns or charcoal burns and these things.
Right.
It's not like a normal gas one where you can just dial up the temperature you want, give or take.
Of course.
But this one's got technology, Bruce, and an app built into it. So you can dial up the temperature you want.
Yeah.
And it's got this built-in fan system down the bottom that just gently sort of blows wind onto the coals.
Yeah,
to
circulate the heat.
To increase or to pour. So the only oxygen it gets is when the fan blows some air in. It can control by computer almost perfectly the temperature and maintain it for as long as there's enough fuel to maintain it for as long as you want at exactly the temperature you want. It fluctuates a tiny bit, but it's remarkable technology. So it's a combination of getting charcoal to get that where you can put wood in and get wood smoke.
And
with the convenience of dial up, you want to sit in your lounge room, watch the app, and the app tells you when the food's ready.
Nice.
Because it's got thermometer probes that are built into it and stuff. So I've been having a bit of fun with that. But of course, tonight I bought this beautiful pork loin roast, this big, with Greek seasoning on it, and gonna get there and give that one a bit of a whirl. And torrential rain and pouring it down and howling wind and just so now, folks, he says it like, oh no, like this is the first time he's heard this. This ain't the first time we've been through this. He knows about the rain.
It's the second time.
This is the second. Yeah, but still, for all our lovely listener, maybe tomorrow night, Friday night barbecue sounds good to me. Yeah, but mind you, I cooked up the meat in the oven today, so I'm gonna go buy more meat.
Oh, okay, right.
But I might do pizzas on it tomorrow night instead. Because
nice.
Because you can do anything from really low to really high temperatures on these things.
Yeah,
so you can sear, you can pizza, you can do all that stuff.
Lovely.
So I have a great pizza base recipe that I use. It's just Greek yogurt and flour.
Yeah. Yep.
And makes the best pizza bases. Oh, so tasty.
That's pretty much the base elements for making naan bread as well.
It is, and donuts.
Oh, is that right?
I make Greek yogurt donuts,
Wow.
You can make all sorts with Greek yogurt and flour. It's quite astounding. It's okay. You can make bread. You can do this. There's so many things. Yeah.
Wow.
Ways of making stuff from these extraordinarily simple ingredients. Yeah. it's got to be simple for me. Anything more than two ingredients, I start to get confused.
Of course.
Hardy, saying something about a pepper. What's a pepper? Do they mean like the red and green ones, or like the stuff that you? it's all too confusing. Because I've got to tell you, honey, two cups of pepper sounds a lot. It reminds me, many, many years ago, a girl I was going out with decided she was going to make apple pie from scratch for us all for dinner.
Right.
And we bit into it. It was like, it was awful, awful, awful. I mean,
okay.
Had this bizarre, the crust looked beautiful. The apple looked great. It just had this bizarre taste.
Yeah.
And when we sort of tried to disassemble it with her, where she might have gone wrong, she'd put in three cloves of garlic instead of three cloves. significantly different. Significantly different taste.
Yeah.
So that was a somewhat of a fail, you might say.
Yeah, totally.
As a dessert. But it's just funny how you can use the same. That's a problem in English language when you have the same words for stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, what have you been doing this last 6 weeks? Anything exciting?
Well, the night after you and your son were off at a concert, Kath and I were at a concert.
Who'd you go see?
Hunter Valley. We went and saw Roxette.
Oh, my God, with the replacement singer.
With the replacement for Marie Fredriksson, a lady by the name of Lena Philipson.
Isn't it bizarre that you can have a band that's really only known for the female singer? No one can really remember the guy who was in the band. She dies.
Yep.
And people still want to go see the band that they don't remember the other guy and with a different person singing the songs.
I tell you what. She is a great replacement for Marie.
I'm told she's big in Japan, or she's big in her own country.
She's big in her own country, yeah. And she was fantastic.
Yeah. So it was a cover band.
Well, no, because it's still Per Gessle, who was the main creator.
I would have saw Queen with the Adam, whatever his name
Adam
was.
Adam Lambert.
That's a cover band, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. After having seen Queen with Freddie and then seen Queen with Adam, it's a cover band.
Yeah, fair enough.
I know it's unusual for me to share my opinions, but that's one I feel reasonably strongly about.
We really enjoyed it, and I'm sitting there like just singing along to everything, and Kath turned to me at one point and she went, "You must be the only guy here who's here of his own volition."
Knows all the. Don't they have only to have two songs or something? It couldn't have. Yeah.
Well, it depends. Been a very long concert. I've listened to probably five of their albums, which is probably four more than most people have heard.
Now, folks, you see that we are very different people. You can see these things. It's what makes our magic and chemistry work so well, Bruce. Right. Yeah, it's the differences that bring us closer.
That's it. But anyway, it was a good night.
Yeah, was it outdoors?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, if you get a nice night, that's really kind of nice.
Well, it was. And actually, interesting experience. That you should have mentioned the moon, because about halfway through the set, this full moon came up over the horizon after the sun had gone down, and it just looked amazing. And you could see, like, the entire crowd.
Usually the full moon comes up after the sun goes down.
Well, not always.
It does.
No. No, there are plenty of times when it comes up before the sun has gone down.
Oh, you name me one.
Does
it really? I've never seen one.
Yeah, it does.
If you look at this up on Google, you keep talking.
Anyway, but it was funny, like, because we're sitting there watching the stage, and suddenly all the crowd in front of us is looking 90 degrees off to the right. And I'm like, what on earth? And I turn around, and of course, there's the moon rising, and it just looked amazing. So,
Was it an orangey sort of color? Or
it was. It was, because it was the 24 hours after the eclipse. And there was something else I was going to mention. I can't think what it was now. But anyway, yeah. So did that. That was good. Going camping this Saturday night.
Where are you going to?
Just up into Olney State Forest, which is maybe a 45-minute drive from here. And the beauty of the state forest is that we can take the dog with us. We're a national park. We can't take the dog.
Okay. Just before we go further, full moon rises at sunset. And sets at sunrise, according to Google. AI tells me. because they're opposite, they're in opposite position of each other apparently. So right. That's, so anyway, they're at sunset, so the sun might be just setting.
Yep.
But they generally don't have a full moon up whilst the sun's still up though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Anyway. So
and in the year 573 in March.
Nobody cares.
There was a Luddite in England scratching his ear.
So it's been 6 weeks since we've recorded.
I know. And nothing's happened.
Well,
the world hasn't ended.
Are you sure about that?
Well, America may have, but.
I think American democracy has ended.
complete change in world, the balance of world power.
Yeah.
It's some scary times, my friend.
Crazy, crazy stuff.
Very, very scary times.
Let's just talk photography because I don't want to get political on this podcast.
Oh, I do.
I'm sure you do.
Let's do it. Let's see if we can piss off our listener. I think anyone who's put up with 573 episodes of this probably welcomes the change.
So what do you got on your list? What social media experiment?
Oh, yeah, so I forgot. We were I can't remember what we were talking about last week, but I'm doing trialing out some new social media platforms.
Okay.
Just to see how, I don't know, just see, A, what they're like, have an understanding of them. Other sites instead of Instagram, other sites. I've never used Twitter anyway, but I'm testing out Blue Sky.
Yeah.
Don't really kind of grasp the concept of them.
Okay.
But I signed up for both of them. I've been posting content up there.
Sorry, when you say both of them, what was the other one?
Photo, sorry. One was called Photo, F-O-T-O.
Okay.
And which is, funny enough, it's a photo show. But here's the funny thing. Since we talked last, when we recorded this last week, and we haven't have to do it again,
yeah.
I got a message this morning about become an ambassador for photo. What on earth is that? But it was a general email. It wasn't like to me specifically.
Right.
And they're changing to a paid platform. I think it's like $5 a month or something, $50 a year. Or you can spend, this is the US, or you can spend $500 now for a lifetime membership.
Right.
And I'm going, dude, I don't even know your site's going to even exist in 12 months.
Exactly.
Who knows? You're spending 500 buckaroonies.
Yeah.
If you're going to start I've got to tell you, so in photo, I've been active, putting one and a half photos a day up.
Okay.
So not a half, I don't put up half photos, but on average.
Yeah.
Average.
So three photos in 2 days. Yeah.
That's the one, average. Actually, it's actually six photos over. Anyway. And I think last week, when we recorded, I'd only been going for a few days.
Yeah.
And I was up to, I think it's up to 15 followers.
Right.
Yeah. And I've been posting.
Setting the world on fire.
A-grade primo quality content.
Yeah.
You know? I can report, at least so far, and it's a whole week gone by.
Yeah.
I'm up to 46 followers now, Bruce. And I've tripled my following in only about a week. Yeah, that keeps up. Yeah, sometime in the year 2063, if they're still going, and I've paid my $500 lifetime membership. I'll be 99, and I might have 99 followers. No, I'll be a social media bloody mogul
giant
at 99 years old. Yeah,
yeah.
And then the king will send me the postcard at 100, and I'll flop down dead. So it's a bit strange. It doesn't have an awful lot of engagement. Yeah,
okay.
People will, and like I find with a lot of things, people might like an image, but they either don't follow you.
Yeah,
I find it strange if you find an image good enough that you like. And maybe I would say, that's really good. I'll go see what else the person's doing.
Yeah.
Gee, I like, and so I would normally expect people would then look at maybe like a few other photos. Doesn't seem to happen.
Right.
Or some people will, and I don't get this either. People will like a photo and then they'll start following you. But it's like either they look through the rest of your work and don't deem it worthy of a like.
Right.
I just find it a bit behind. Surely out of, I don't know, I've got up there like 50 images, I don't know, probably 30 images, something like that. Surely there's more than one in that range that you actually liked enough to go 0.3 of a second to go like.
Yeah.
But here's an interesting thing. For a photo website, and I've been trying to, you know, explore around, look at other photographers.
Yeah.
In the 3 weeks I've been on, I haven't followed a single photographer.
Wow.
I haven't found one person where I've got, oh, gee, I really like that, or gee, they're doing something interesting, or they're doing something of a something that intrigues me or makes me want to see what else they're going to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's quite astounding. Frankly,
is it a site that allows video, or is it still
no? It's just photo just only, stills. And you can only do 3 tags, so it's really, really restrictive. And you have to choose from their preset tags.
Oh, okay.
As well, so you can't even do a tag that's specific to an event or anything like that.
Wow!
So you can only use their specific tags.
That's an odd choice.
Yeah, it is. So it's unusual, to say the least. And I said, I haven't. Yeah, it's like all these things. They take a little bit of time to find your way around them, I guess.
Mm.
But I haven't found, and not to blow my own horn, but I'm putting up some quality content.
Yeah.
And if someone has any form of interest, and it's always a problem though, people don't like people photos generally, you put a landscape photo up, you get 100 likes. You put a person photo up, you get 3. Yeah, it's that kind of, unless it's some teeny bopper musician, model, Instagram influencer, whatever it may be. But yeah, you don't get the same sort of likes as a pretty sunset and I don't put up photos of pretty girls.
Yeah.
So that, which also is the people shots that most people will follow.
Yeah.
So I'm used to having lower engagement because of the content that I put up, but the quality of the content's pretty darn good, if I must say so myself.
Yeah.
And then I've joined up Blue Sky, which I said is a more of a broad ranging type
clone. Yep.
Yeah, it's more of a broad ranging where people, it's not just about photos. It is people can post photos.
Yeah.
I think they can post videos as well, but they could also make social commentary and all this sort of stuff. I don't know if it's got the same. I don't know if Twitter still has limitations of how many characters you can use.
I think it's 140.
I think it used to be, but I think that changed.
Or is it 280? Might be 280.
Yeah, I think but I don't know if it even changed. I think it changed to 280, and I'm not sure if it's changed beyond that.
Yeah.
But I've been sort of on Blue Sky a little bit longer. I've got 145 followers.
Right.
But I've been on it longer. I've only got 3 times as many followers.
Yeah.
But I've been on it significantly longer,
right?
So it's obviously not getting great connection, and you can put a lot more tags on that as well. So it's but I've got 44 people I'm following, so roughly one third of the people that I'm that is following me, I found other people out there which I thought are doing interesting stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess you'd say at the moment, if I want to go and find other photographers that interest me, Blue Sky is signed to doing a better job.
Yeah, right.
Over photo. But this is kind of what, it's just a little experiment. I thought we could keep an eye on it over a couple of weeks.
An interesting question. Are all of the 44 people that you are following photographers, or are some of those follows are just other things that you find interesting?
Oh, no, sorry, only photographers. Sorry. Okay. I'm only, I don't look at any of the content because I'm trying to keep it just to a focus of It's a bit of a social experiment just to say, well, what are these? I thought it was just kind of interesting over, I don't know, the next month or two, but probably not very long enough because we don't do enough podcasts, but maybe over the next sort of few months.
Yeah.
We'll just keep checking in. I'll keep posting. We'll just sort of see if one takes off, if one doesn't. And just, I just thought it's kind of an interesting observation thing to look at and give us a little thing to return to each episode and check the numbers and check the statistics.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think that said what I'm hoping for, and I think we talked about in our failed episode last week, is a page that is more dynamic for photographers and has more engagement about people talking about photography to each other. I know there's 500px, I think it's 1x or whatever it's called, but they seem to be fairly, I don't know, certainly the 1x quite a competitive photography forum, who's going to be the best and get on front page. I was just like, so a few years ago there was this voice only chat room app that came out. I can't remember what it's called now.
What was that called?
But you could have different topics, different subjects, different topics. And I found when in its early initial days, that was a fabulous resource for people sharing information and knowledge and suggestions. I found that a very connected social media platform. but I kind of either I got bored with it or it fell by the wayside, and I don't think it.
I don't think it lasted very long.
Yeah, yeah. But I kind of like something that's a little bit more engaging from a photographer's point of view. And I wonder what can you do to could you have a social media site that rather than having just a like button. Could you have like a sliding scale of where you could rate maybe? Not it's terrible, I guess, to rate. Rating's probably not a good idea because that's pretty – it's so subjective. But something about – or a rating of how much you love it. You know, as in, I really like this or I really, really like this. Or, yeah, so the baseline is like, but you have a sliding scale. Maybe you can change the size of the heart for right. the like
yeah.
to show that this really speaks to me, or something that's more than just the unthinking hit like and move on to the next image.
Yeah.
Something where you can have a little bit but you don't have to take the time to comment or all that, but something where you can show appreciation in a faster way.
Yeah.
I think would be kind of interesting, yeah.
It certainly speaks to, you know, guys of our vintage, but I feel like the entire world has just, you know, gravitated towards the 3-second attention span. And yeah. I just don't know that the majority of the people on the planet want to get that engaged in anything. They just want to scroll.
But which is why I think, yeah, I guess, but that's why the like thing would kind of work, the scalability of like.
Yeah.
I remember, funny enough, and I don't know if we talked about it in the podcast. I know when I was talking around the world for the Photo Marketing Association at their conferences, there's a website I brought up, which I thought at the time was revolutionary. It was a video website, which is not my thing, but it was called 12 Seconds.
Right.
And you could only upload 12-second clips.
Okay.
And I thought, wow, this probably would have been
so like
2006, something like that. So you this website exists. I thought, wow, I reckon there's something that's going to connect.
Yeah.
And it didn't, and it died. Yeah. But then years
Vines,
later,
Vines came along.
I don't know Vines.
Vines was the first of the. It was a 6-second video.
Just doing half of 12 seconds.
That's right.
Yeah. It's like 3-minute ads, Bruce.
But it's twice the attention span of the average person on the planet.
But shorts go. But TikTok basically was that. TikTok made that work, and they're longer than 6 seconds. They're longer than 12 seconds. Yeah. I don't know why they found that. Maybe their blending of music and writing, the way they blended all the different elements you could put together, but I thought it said 2005, 2006, 12 seconds came out, and I thought, yeah, I can see how this would take off. And it's funny how it took years, but I just think there's a stage where someone could come out with something revolutionary for connection that doesn't require input.
But
I don't know what it is, but there's got to be a better way of connecting with people than what we've currently got. But who knows? But I reckon you watch this space in 5 years' time, that'll be something that'll start to change, and it'll be that kind of concept, probably a far better concept of it, but something along those sort of lines. So, yeah.
Yeah, who knows?
Since 2005, Shutters Inc. has been a labour of love. But beyond the time required to produce it, there is also a financial commitment. If you find value in the podcast and would like to help keep the servers running, hit up the Patreon link, which is in the show notes. Even a couple of dollars a month will help. Much appreciated. Now, back to the podcast.
So what was CP Plus?
Oh, CP Plus is the last existing photo show in the world, basically. The last big industry show. We were just talking a minute ago about PMA, and if we remember Photokina from back in the days, this is a Japanese-based show, and it's where all the people from all the photography industry in Australia, all the wholesalers, they all fly over there to meet up with the heads of the Japanese versions, all that sort of stuff, and see the.
So is this an annual thing?
It's an annual. I'm pretty sure it's annual. Yeah, it's annual. But one of the reasons I brought it up was it's starting to gather a momentum again and prominence like the old Photokinas and PMAs used to do, where manufacturers will hold off releasing a product to announce it at CP Plus.
Wow.
Rather than just any random time during the year. So because eyes are now looking at this event, the media of the world is now looking at this event for that. But having said that, funny enough, there wasn't many cameras released at this event, but there was a couple of ones which I thought was really, really interesting. And okay. One of them was from the lens company, TT Artisans.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw that TT Artisans are coming out with a camera. I thought, well, that's interesting. Yeah. It kind of makes sense. They've got all these lenses that they make. It would kind of make sense that they come out with a body to put them on.
Yeah.
But no, they didn't. They came out with, completely out of left field, an old-fashioned, vintage-style bellows-looking camera.
Wow.
That takes Fuji Instax Mini film. So it looks like an old-fashioned...
Hang on, so is it film or is it a digital capture?
Well, there's no digital at all. It's only film.
Oh, okay. Well,
and by film, it's instant film. Yeah, it's not film.
Oh, so like Polaroid-type film?
But Polaroid's like from the 1970s, Bruce.
Yeah, so I'm
aware. Fuji's been like instant film cameras for probably a good decade or so now, okay. And they've been very dominant around the world. I mean, it's probably what keeps Fuji alive, frankly, is their Instax Mini stuff.
Right.
Because they're costly. It costs them nothing to make, and they sell for a dollar a shot or whatever.
Yeah,
they're
right.
Doing okay. So basically you take a photo and it prints out on the spot, but out of a very unusual shaped camera.
I love it. I love the look of it.
It's very cool.
So it's basically this little front cover piece that actually folds down flat, and then the lens comes out on a bellows-type contraction.
So just like they used to do in the 50s.
That's awesome.
Not dissimilar in some ways to an old Kodak Brownie, with the old folding bellows and stuff.
Surely it must be imperative, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the front element or that whole... when I say front element, I don't just mean the single piece of glass, but that whole metal assembly at the end of the bellows. That surely needs to remain perfectly parallel with the film plane.
Yeah.
So, but the bellows
only if you want them in focus.
But the bellows,
so basically the way they used to work, you'd slide your bellows out until it clicked. There's a little click point where it locks in at the end.
Okay.
So it locks in, and the bellows is really...
It's just adding depth.
It's just a hole.
Yeah, it's just adding depth.
A light-proof hole. Once it's clicked into position, it is perfectly lined up.
Right, okay.
But I'm sure, having said that, you could maybe play around a little bit and...
Have yourself a tilt-shift lens.
Yeah, create some kind of cool... I wonder if it allows you to shoot when it's not locked in. That'd be kind of interesting. But another thing I found interesting about it, because they're a lens manufacturer, the lens itself is interesting in itself.
Oh, okay.
They're using it's a 75mm, which is a 43mm equivalent. So basically, kind of the way it works.
Right.
But it's a Cook triplet design that was patented in 1893.
Wow.
So they've taken this old fashioned style lens on an old-fashioned looking camera with this modern printing technology.
Yeah,
I just think it was just really cool. It's just such a novel.
The other great aspect of this is the price point.
How much are they?
$300 US.
Well, I don't know.
Which
is a lot of money for an Insta camera.
But is it? Is it really?
Well, I bought the Fuji Instax Mini Evo something rather for my kid for Christmas.
Yeah.
And this thing's remarkable. It's vintage styling as well. It's not it's plastic and it's vintage style, but it's got 10 different lens effects built into it.
Yep.
10 different filter effects built into it. Does all sorts of really cool stuff. Takes great photos.
Yep.
It's digital, so you can record to digital or record or print it straight out. And you can send photos taken with your phone to it and print out from your phone. This, and they're about 290 Australian.
Yeah, right.
So that's 200 American, basically. So, so by comparison, I think it's a niche product, and probably not expecting to sell very many of them. Which is, of course, stands out in the cost. Yeah, the less you make, the more it costs.
I wonder if the body is metal, the way it looks.
I know, it looks cool, but I couldn't imagine it is, but it looks cool, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does.
I'd love to try one. I think it's a fabulous. I think just kudos for doing something different.
Yeah, totally.
They're so easy to could have come out with just another body to fit on their either the E-mount lenses or the M42 or the whatever it could have been. I just think it was a really cool product. And the other camera that sort of stood out to me was from Sigma. Which right. is so it's kind of funny. Two lens menu. The biggest camera releases at this photo show was from lens companies, which is kind of cool. But Sigma have a history. They have made cameras in the past.
Okay,
and their one's called BF9, the Beautiful Foolishness. It's the first camera in history, theoretically, to feature a true unibody made from one solid block of aluminium.
Wow.
Yeah, and it takes them 7 hours to carve the block of aluminium to the shape per camera, to the shape of camera.
Okay, that is not sustainable or scalable.
Well, it depends on the price of the camera is going to be, I guess. Isn't
well,
it?
That's
it's a
true.
Bespoke camera. It's got no tradition. It's got no grip, no memory card slot, no viewfinder, no hot shoe.
Yeah.
Has one command dial and just a couple of other little buttons and a shutter button. It's got almost they've stripped back everything. To completely revolutionise or redefine how to use cameras, and it's an interesting looking piece of kit. You know, it's again, why reinvent the wheel? Let's come out with something completely different. And
yours for a mere $2,000.
Yeah, so I said cost. Yeah, but you know, people are going to buy it.
Yeah,
yeah. It's the people I know who've tried them.
Yeah,
have said, wow, it feels amazing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's one of the best balanced and feeling cameras they've ever. It's unlike any other camera they've ever held.
Yeah, right.
So I'm sure there's a lot of those types of people out there who'll rush out to buy them because they'll have something that not everybody else has.
Yeah.
We've got to a point of stasis almost in cameras, almost like computers did when they got to a point where any gains in computers were marginal and not really that exciting.
It's pretty much where we're at with mobile phones now as well.
Exactly right. And same with cameras. They've kind of got to a point, well, there's nothing all-fired, massive change. Yeah, there's tweaks to focus. There's low light. There's speed. I mean, I guess probably the biggest change is global shutter.
Yeah.
Is that next revolution. But it's still, for the amount of people who are going to use it, it's fairly limited
scope. A niche product at best.
Yeah. So it's just kind of interesting to see people who think, well, how can we do it differently? And those were two examples. But one other thing that stood out, and the only other camera that I saw released was from Canon, and it was a compact camera.
Yeah.
But they're so overwhelmed with demand for it, they can't keep up.
Which camera is this?
It's a Canon. So it's a compact camera, and it's basically a vlogging camera for video bloggers. So it's got a hot shoe for the microphone and video. But it's like a million of these other types that we've seen over the not a million, it's probably, Panasonic have them and all this kind of stuff, Nikon have them. But it's designed mostly for vloggers. But Canon are really shocked by the volume of interest in compact cameras again.
Yeah, right.
And they've had to try and ramp up production, but they've closed all their compact camera factories down. So they're in this quandary and they don't know whether to try and retool some places.
Let's sack all the workers and then next week, hang on, no, come on back to work. This sounds familiar. I've heard this story before,
politics. Stop talking American politics, Chris. That's what we weren't going to. But yeah, so they're worried if we do try and retool and it's just a bump, then all of a sudden we're in the same boat we are again. So it's an interesting quandary for Canon to be in, to be unsure about how to manufacture, which I thought was kind of thing. And the only other thing that was of note that I saw from CP Plus was that Sigma discontinuing making, and they have no more development of DSLR lenses. Lenses for mirrorless cameras, but anything for the older mirrored cameras, which makes sense because no one's making those cameras anymore.
That's it. There's no new SLR bodies hitting the market, so
and frankly, there's so much stuff available secondhand from people selling off to get mirrorless cameras that there's a glut of lenses out there people can buy anyway.
That's
without
it.
Needing new. So that was just an end of an era, I guess.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my bits of interest for the for the 6 whole weeks. Well,
after we had our failed first version of episode 573 in the can, I just the following day got a message from Philip Johnson.
Oh, Big Phil. I didn't want to raise this. I didn't really want to raise this.
Of course you didn't.
But I cheated on you this morning.
Yeah, no, you told us this. Oh, well, you told me in the failed first attack.
I said I was going to cheat on
That's
you.
That's right.
I cheated on you today.
Yeah.
and Bruce, okay, I hate to break this to you.
Yeah.
Philip Johnson cheated on us too.
Oh, did he?
Because he was there listening and watching. So, you know, Big Phil, I'm dobbed you in, mate. You've been denounced.
So anyway,
as a heretic. But before we go, the Canberra Life podcast.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube. It only goes for 2.5 hours. Jump aboard if you want to ever listen to more crap from me.
Right.
What does Big Phil have to say?
So he sent me a link to a video, and he said, given that you work in Newcastle, this might be of interest. And was so it? I jumped onto YouTube to look at this thing, and it's a 57-minute documentary of a photographer by the name of Ralph Snowball.
Ah, Snowball and Hell Chance.
Clearly,
I used to work with the Belinda Snowball.
Clearly, a Simpsons fan
in the photo industry. Yeah. In the photo industry, her name is Belinda Snowball.
Yeah.
She was so delighted to be getting married to get rid of her surname.
Yeah.
Guess what her new surname was going to be?
What?
Nuttall. And she thought Snowball to Nuttall was an improvement.
Right.
I can tell you, not.
So anyway, this guy.
Yes.
He had a job in. I think he was working in the mines or something, or finance, one or the other, in Newcastle in the late 1800s. And around 1885, he got himself a wet plate camera, but he could also shoot dry plates on it. I think wet plate was kind of the current technology, and dry plate was just starting to come in. And the beauty of dry plate photography was that you could go out in the field and you could shoot, where wet plate you could really only do in the studio. And he started going all over the area of, you know, Newcastle and the surrounding villages as they were at the time, and just photographing everything on dry plates. And between 1885 and when he died in 1925, he shot something like 8,000 dry plates. And they ended up in his house, and then they sort of got passed on down through the family. Nothing happened with them until 1988. And then they got given to a couple of photographers who in Newcastle at the time, who saw the value in all these dry plate images that he'd created, and they eventually got them into the hands of the University of Newcastle, who have restored and digitized all of the better images from this collection. And it was just a really fascinating documentary about how this guy had just, you know, only done it for the love of it. He, you know, I mean, he did eventually make money from it, but that wasn't the reason he started doing it. He just started doing it because he enjoyed it. And just some amazing photographs of Newcastle when it was still just a river port, and, you know, it was all just dirt streets, and all these old pubs and various businesses, and, you know, certain buildings that were there, and then there was a fire ripped through and it burned down. So he got photographs of it when it had burned down, and then he got photos of them building the next building that was going up on the same block of dirt, and, you know, that building still exists today. And it was just phenomenal. It was really interesting. I mean, okay, it was probably interesting to me because, you know, I work in that town now. But, I just thought it was a really interesting doco. So, Phil, thank you for the link, mate. I really enjoyed it.
I'm just looking at one of his photographs of the teachers at Minmi Public School.
Minmi,
there we are. 9th of July, 1895. There's all these lady teachers.
Yep.
But they've all got tennis rackets.
Yes.
Very cool shot. But there's babies there too, which is very strange.
What I thought was interesting was there was a point in the doco where they were talking about how he had taken a photograph of a particular hotel, and there was another photograph which was the official promo photo taken by the brewery about 6 months later, and the quality of the promo photo was not a hatch on Ralph's image, you could zoom in and see individual bricks in wow. Ralph's photo, where on this other, you know, official photo, they just sort of all sort of blurred into a mushy, you know, mid-tone grey, but you couldn't really discern individual bricks, which I thought was really interesting, you know, because they were saying, you know, he was shooting quarter plate, which is, you know, around about a, you know, 6x10 kind of size, and then
yeah.
half plate, and then full plate, which are, you know, bigger than A4. And yeah. these full plate, you know, images, the amount of resolution that's there allows you to zoom right in. Oh,
remarkable,
in.
Yeah.
And of course, being, you know, being an analog format, there's, you know, there's no pixelation as you zoom in. So, yeah, it was really interesting. So
it's now just looking at some of the shots, and yeah, it's they're brilliant, aren't they?
For its day, it was amazing stuff. And, you know, to think that he had, you know, so many images. And he covers, you know, right down the side of Lake Macquarie to Toronto and over to Belmont and out to Wall's End. And, like, yeah, for anyone who knows this area, you'd realise that he travelled around quite a lot. And he travelled, naturally, horse and cart, because that's all they had.
Yeah.
But he had a banner over the sides of his cart that he towed behind his horse that had, you know, Ralph Snowball, architectural and landscape photographer. And he got to a point where he started placing his horse and cart into the scenes as he shot them. It was almost like the first attempt at watermarking, you know.
Love it, yeah. I'm just looking at some shots here from the Newcastle Regional Show in 1902.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
it's just this is a little thing here about how the core elements of what the regional show did in those days is not that much different from what the regional shows do now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's very cool. I'm zooming in some of the stuff in great detail.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good detail.
Yeah.
So
So it was a very interesting doco. So,
good stuff, Phil. Yeah. Thanks for sending stuff through.
That's it.
We like it when people send stuff through, because occasionally we even look at it.
That's right. And that's about it.
That's it. Well, also, third time lucky.
That's it.
I think they say in the classics.
That's exactly what they say in the classics.
Just so everyone knows, last week we recorded, we did the entire episode,
yeah.
got to the end, and then Bruce goes, oh, the sound didn't sound very good. I hope it was better on your end, and then we checked, it was absolute garbage.
So it was shocking.
Hopefully the sound's better this time, guys.
Oh, it definitely is.
And then the second time we started recording tonight, well, the first time tonight, we got going, and then Bruce realised it wasn't recording my audio. So it probably would have been a better podcast, just your end of the conversation, Bruce. Yeah, you should try that one time. Put out three episodes.
Yeah.
One just your voice, one just my voice, and normal one, and see which one gets listened to the most. And if no one listens to my voice, you can just have you on by yourself.
There you go.
Easy peasy.
Love it.
All right, mate. Well, I'm going to go back to my movie, my show that I was watching.
Enjoy.
I will. And you too. We'll
talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, let's not make it so long next time, Bruce. What are you doing?
Exactly, Glenn.
Take care, awesome, everyone. Mate.
Cheers.
Bye.
You've been listening to Shutters Inc. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.